All right, so we're on to lesson number four, if I can find my little clicker here. I changed my red off there because it's hard to see the red words on the internet feed, so we're on to perfections today. So last week, we didn't have the preachings. That was 2 weeks ago. What did we have last week during Sunday school? We had another P. We had pottery in here, right? Brother Engeseth, that was the ultimate object lesson, right? When you actually create the object as you're doing it. It's kind of like when Brother Ruckman used to do the drawings as he's preaching, and the whole thing just comes together at the end, and it just works. So that was a blessing. So we have the preaching last week. We went over some of these different things, how at the same time Jesus can preach repentance to the sinful, which is received by the simple, and yet at the same time rejected by the satisfied, the satiated, the spiteful, those Jews. We're going to get to them next week, the religious rulers and leaders. And yet he still preached about the straight and narrow way, but the biggest thing was to have a relationship and not just rules and religion. That's what he was trying to defeat with his preaching last week. So now we get to these perfectings, these perfections of Christ. What are some of the issues that we're dealing with in America right now? Just give me one. I know the list is you know, unbelievably long, but what's something America's dealing with right now? So we have lots of sex stuff, and then we have the miscarriage of the entire relationship between a man and a woman, because now we can't even define what a man is. We can't define what a woman is, but they have to be able to have some sort of pleasureful relationship outside of any marriage commitments or anything like that. And then, of course, abortion is just the result of all of that fornication. It's a big mess. But what else are we dealing with? That's just the, and I heard this a long time ago. I forget what, I was a program, I think on the radio, but some particular scientist, a behavior analysis or something, she did something with behavior. She said, when a species is on the verge of extinction, all it can think about is procreating. So I thought that was interesting. Not that we're necessarily animals, but what's the preoccupation with all this, you know, we're an adult group here, with all the sex and the sex and the sex all over the place? Well, it's because we're in trouble. And somehow our species knows that. And we know that it's a bigger issue, and we'll get to that. But what else do we have? What are some other things that we see going on in our country? What's that?
Inflation.
Monetary stuff, right? We don't even want to go down the political road, do we? It's just from all sides. The devil's got everything going. All cylinders are driving. Drugs, alcohol, just broken families, schooling that doesn't school, you don't learn anything anymore. Kids have to cover their face so they can't, they learn how to talk by seeing mouths move in three dimensions. That's just how you learn how to speak. And now what do we want to do? Let's just completely change the process. And then wonder why kids can't pass math, can't even speak anymore. You think the devil's going to hold back at some point and say, okay, that's enough. I've been just a little too harsh on everybody. No way. If we're stupid enough to keep going down that road, just keep on going right off the cliff. Constant anger, anxiety, confrontations. But what's the biggest issue? Violence. But that's just an afterthought. To me, I see it, there's just no hope. When you take God out of the equation, you just have no hope left. It's like, what are we doing here? We're an accident, right, scientists? And it just goes downhill from there. I want to show you the first mention of the word hope in the Bible. Turn to Ezra chapter 10 real quick. I just thought this was neat. I love these little Hebrew nuggets that we see. Ezra chapter 10. Israel is a constant mirror in the Bible to what America just wants to be, basically a recycling of the things that had to happen to Israel as we just throw away all the blessings of God, just like Israel did back in the Old Testament. God wrote that Old Testament to show he wanted a relationship with a special people because they were the smallest, they were the least likely, and he brought them glory, he brought himself glory, and then they just went the way of the idolaters around them. And then it's just written as a history of that judgment. So we see here in Ezra chapter 10, I believe it is, yep, chapter 10. Ezra is basically trying to get back whatever they used to have in Jerusalem. And it says, now when, this is chapter 10, verse 1. Now when Ezra had prayed, and when he had confessed, weeping and casting himself down before the house of God, there assembled unto him out of Israel a very great congregation of men and women and children, for the people wept very sore. And Shechaniah, the son of Jehiel, one of the sons of Elam, answered and said unto Ezra, we have trespassed against our God and have taken strange wives of the people of the land. Yet now there is hope in Israel concerning this thing. So this guy Shechaniah speaks up and he says, but we still have hope. Things are starting to come back together. They're turning back towards God. So I just looked up the name Shechaniah, and that means that God has dwelt. When God is present in somebody's life, hope is going to show up. And not only Shechaniah, but his father's name is Jehiel, which means God lives. God's still on the throne. And when God's still in control, and we believe that, that's where the hope can be generated in our life, when we know that God's alive and he's with us. And the more current name we use for God with us is Emmanuel, maybe not Shechaniah, but it's a different translation for different words. Jehovah there, Shechaniah, is Jehovah. So when God shows up, things can get better. So the question is, when will America finally realize, will it be in November when we have a chance to vote some of this foolishness away? I saw a thing the other day where it talked about, what do you do with the cancel culture when people want to cancel you? You just tell them, no, I'm not going to get canceled. Sorry, you can't throw away my existence because you don't agree with me. But that's where we're at in this world of media and social media and all the foolishness. Let's see what Jesus wants to talk about here. So we have a bunch, I have a list of lists here, just if you want something. There's all sorts of negative lists in the Bible, a dishonest walk, works of the flesh, perilous times, there's a generation that does poor things. But then there's the good list, the seven spirits of God, how we can be more than conquerors, the fruits of the Spirit, the armor of God. I have some lists of that. I don't know why I have that, but I do. But we see that Jesus didn't necessarily go right down the list in order for things, but there's all sorts of doctrines that come from lists in the Bible. So I have some of those if you want a copy of that afterwards. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. The Sermon on the Mount is, to me, in my red letter Bible, the biggest hunk where Jesus deals with doctrines, how to live. We know that the Bible is written to know what's right, to know what's wrong, to know how to get right, and to know how to stay right. We see here that Jesus wants to bless folks. He's in Israel, he's amongst his people, and in Matthew chapter 5, he starts this Sermon on the Mount. He sees the multitudes, and he gives a whole bunch of concepts to be able to have a blessed people. Blessed, look at verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit. When you're humble, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. So what's the first thing you got to deal with? Pride. I mean, it just shows up in so many different areas of your life. Could be in this room right now with Christians, can be out there in the world, and you got road rage, and you got all this foolishness. People are getting beat up and shot at McDonald's because the French fries got too much salt. Well, what does that stem from? I'm the most important thing in my life. You better start to agree with me, or you're going to suffer the consequence. That's just pride and selfishness. But when you're poor in spirit, it's okay if you get offended sometimes. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. My wife today says to me, she goes, you know what? I'm starting to see with my brother, she's the last of 9 kids. So the parents are gone, but her 9 siblings are just getting to that age where they're just not the way they used to be. And she's like, I got to start getting ready for this. It's not going to be easy. She's going to mourn and have to mourn all of those. And it's going to be tough, you know, especially her wife just lost her husband, or her wife, her sister lost her husband. So she's been trying to help her with that. It's just fresh in her head. But God will comfort. Just make sure you go through the mourning process. Don't avoid it. Deal with it. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. There's that meekness, that humility. It's not being a doormat, but it's being humble. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. It seems like we're going the wrong way on that as a country. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Peacemakers. Where's the peacemakers between Russia and Ukraine? All the people in the middle are being destroyed, but the two leaders aren't interested in peace at all. Even the Ukrainian guy. Why is that? Too much money involved. It's just sad. Peacemakers are called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. So there's our challenge, is that it's actually not true for my sake. So when we suffer for the Lord, it's because it's true righteousness. Unlike, unfortunately, the American church or Christianity in America is more, gets called out for its hypocrisy and the sin that's readily apparent for anyone to notice. Letting in things that ought not to be in the church. And what is the point of all that? The blessings? Verse 13, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Salt's supposed to be a preservative. It's supposed to add flavoring. Keep things the way they should be. And they not only salt but light. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's why we're here. That's part of the purpose of our existence there. But he also deals with some other things. Things that are very modern worldish. So those are kind of general concepts, but then he gets very specific. Look at verse number 21. He raises the bar on the Old Testament law. So chapter 5, verse 21. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, right? It's one of the Ten Commandments. But notice Jesus raises the stakes. He makes it more of a spiritual law. Because that's one of the worst things you can do to somebody physically, right? Is to take their life from them. But he takes it a step further. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. So he's not looking to let people off and lower the bar. Jesus wants us to take it up a notch. And look at the world around us. It's getting worse and worse. And what do they do? Nobody has a call for even some fake morality anymore. They just keep lowering the standards. See if you can hop over this. Woo, good job! What is that? I mean, I was telling my wife the other day, I played Greece Cardinals football when I think I was 8, maybe I was 9 by then. I didn't play the first year, this was the second year. And you used to get, you put on your helmet, you know, you got the stupid bird. I never liked the bird. I always wanted the lightning bolt like the Greece Chargers. But for some reason I got signed up to be on the Greece bird team. But you had to work in the first practices so you could get a blue hunk of electrical tape on your front of your helmet. And if you were really good, you were on goal line, this for defense, so your starting D was blue. If you were good enough to play goal line D, like, you know, you could actually stop somebody when it mattered before the other team scores, you got to have a gold sticker on there. And you don't think that 8 years or 9 year old kids can figure out that they're worthy of an honor of a blue piece of tape or a gold piece of tape based on merit? Why are we throwing all that away? Do I want somebody that doesn't know how to fly a jet to be a pilot? I mean, there's a big pilot shortage. Anybody can go to flight school, right? You just got to put in your hours. Anybody can be a doctor or a nurse. And my daughter got to see the huge difference in standards between the University of Rochester standards for being a nurse and just trying to keep people from dying in Africa. Slightly different levels of standards there. But for us, in the church house, a Christian, our standards should be as high as Christ wants to make them. Because the standard is Christ, not the world. But it sure is hard when you're in the flesh. Well, I'm better than those guys that don't go to church anymore. Well, yeah, good job. We want a participation trophy or what is this? But that's where we're at. That's what the flesh wants to do. That might be one of my next series I'm looking at is with Corinthians, where Paul admonishes the Corinthians to stop comparing yourselves to everybody because it never works out. You're just not wise, so we'll see how that goes. But look at verse 27. He takes another one here. So it must have been killing was something that was going on there. You have heard that it was said in verse 27, here's another one, them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. No physical act. That was the sin in the Old Testament. Jesus takes it a step higher. That's like our entire American society is billboards and magazines and shows and social medias and Instagrams, all of the new fandangled things for all that. But look what he says. He doesn't just say, that's trouble. Here's how you deal with it. Verse 29, and if thy right eye offend thee, think of the context now, unfortunately, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish and that not thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish and that not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. You got to do whatever it takes to get rid of this sin instead of just letting it in, because it's just inundating now. It's not easy. And then look what it says, verse 31. It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. Moses allowed that for the hardness of their hearts, he says in other places. But I say unto you, here's Jesus' standard, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery. And what's our world full of now, and especially in America, where marriage is almost meaningless on purpose, it's full of adulterers. And that's sad, because that's not where Jesus wants us to be. And even in the church house, divorces. And you know, and I understand there's different circumstances, but it's not like Jesus is talking about something that's outdated and we can't learn from, because that's always the lost world's justification. Oh, that book was written so long ago, there's nothing in there. Oh, really? This is exactly what's going on right now throughout church, throughout America, maybe not all over the world, but these are modern issues, if I've ever seen them. But the Word of God is eternal. You don't have to revise it. So he deals with adultery, pornography here, fornication, divorce. You can play the context if you need to. But then in verse 33, he talks about oaths, promises, contracts, lying, corruption. Verse 38, he talks about getting revenge or just lawsuits. And yet you can still go the extra mile. Isn't it nice when somebody in today's day and age goes the extra mile for you? Like, hey, I had this extra, you know, burger or something, and I saw you had an extra kid with you or whatever. Here's a free burger. And you don't expect those little things in life anymore. I mean, that was a horrible example, but when somebody goes beyond their job's description, like smiles, acknowledges your existence in the building, you know, like I go to Jersey Mike's. I like Jersey Mike's. They have that policy where they actually greet people when they walk through the door, and they don't need a bell, so it's not a Pavlov thing where ding, hello, you know, that kind of deal. There's no bell there. They just know that somebody opened the door. Felt terrible. We're coming back. We're in Washington. She wants to go to Chick-fil-A. Oh, Chick-fil-A, the first food you get after getting off the plane, right? It was the worst experience of her life. The poor girl, ironically, was African. She barely spoke English. I felt terrible. The communication process, it's like Miranda could have just walked around the side and put in her own order because she's worked at Chick-fil-A in multiple places. Which she had to remind the girl, I know you can revise the order. I just want cheese on my chicken sandwich. She still didn't get it. And the girl had zero remorse. Sorry, too late. Can't redo the order. She's like, you didn't take any money from me. And she didn't even take my order. I was supposed to be the one that was actually, you know, paying for it. This is Chick-fil-A. I mean, that's the standard of Chick-fil-A. It's supposed to be high, right? Not in Washington, D.C. In the airport, yeah, for 1.5 times the money, right? And all of a sudden, it's the new normal, and we get used to that new standard of nothing because everybody's got help wanted signs. That's not how Jesus wants us to live. Talks about borrowing and lending. Verse 43, here we go. Here's some politics. See if this makes sense in the context. You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. That's an Old Testament deal. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Democrats, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. I mean, you want to talk about despitefully being used? Sure, we'll take your tax money. Now get out of the state and go to Florida where the rest of you are. That's the leader of our state saying that publicly. Lord, please bless Kathy Hochul. It's hard for me to pray that, just like it was for Cuomo and all the other despiteful users. God help me. Because they're not my standard. He's my standard. Whew. That's why you can't talk about religion and politics at family functions, right? You get in the flesh too fast. For if ye love them which love... Oh, wait a minute. But despitefully use verse 45. That ye may be the children of your Father. See, it's not about you're a good employer or taxpayer in New York State. You pray for them to despitefully use you in verse 45. That ye may be the children of your Father. Capital F. Which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and then on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect. Here's that perfectings. Even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. So we see Matthew chapter 5 is loaded. And that's the first message, right? Then all of a sudden there's chapter 6. And he talks about giving. How do you give? Do you give in secret so God can reward you openly? No, they didn't back then. They used to give publicly. Welcome to the Bede, Thomas Galisano, children's emergency room library. Gift shop. The name's got to be everywhere. Why? Something deep down, he never got a reward when he was a kid. He's got to have his name everywhere. God help us. Public giving. Public prayer. What does God say? Verse 5. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corner of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. It's the secret giving. It's the secret prayer. And it's that relationship that Jesus wants. And then he gives the prayer, the example prayer, the Our Father, which I've said 1,000 times, being an altar boy, to the point where it's vain repetition. It's just sad. It's a good prayer. It's not the Lord's prayer. It's the disciples' prayer. Jesus doesn't need to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Maybe in the flesh, forgive us our debts. Jesus doesn't need to pray, forgive us our debts. But he gave an example prayer. That's the other one. Secret fasting. There's a lost art in Christianity, right? Secret fasting. Anoint thine head, wash thy face, verse 17, verse 18, that thou appear not to men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. It's that secret relationship. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. It deals with, I got to start thinking about, I'm not going to be able to climb these ladders anymore and do all these wires, and I get home and it's like, hey, wow, that was a fun day today. Honey, where's the Advil? And you want kids to work for you, but they got their own plans, My son just didn't want to do what I do, and that's okay. I'm not holding it against him. It's perfectly fine. I didn't do what my dad did and my uncles did, and they all worked at Delco. That wasn't me. So that's the American way, is to find your own thing. It's interesting how the Jewish way is to do what your dad did. And you wonder how they can lay up so many treasures, because they don't start over every generation. It's just a wisdom thing. It's fleshly and worldly, but it's still a wisdom thing there. God wants us to lay up our treasures in heaven. How's that going for you? We just had the man here talking about the judgment seat of Christ. Will your treasures be just like his big apparatus there, and he can just produce things and show them to you? And my wife's like, how much? He wouldn't sell it. He's not trying to make money here for it. He's trying to just show what's possible, but that was something that was really cool. Just like God wants you and say, hey, good job. That was cool. You got to talk to, and you give God glory. Maybe see somebody get saved. Treasures for heaven. He talks about the light of the body is the eye, verse 22. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, if you're looking for trouble, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore that the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. I've tried that balancing act on the chain link fence for most of my adult life. It's not easy. You're going to get hurt. Don't do it. Choosing money over God. He talks about food and fashion here. Uh-oh. Now we're changing, you know, genders here. Take no thought for your life what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Ladies, just come to church. This shouldn't take an hour and a half to get ready for church, right? Why do you think I drive separate with my wife? Because somebody's ready to go and somebody's not ready to go. That's all it is. Been like that for 20 years. Love you, honey. She's next door. That's all it is. But fashionable church. I mean, hey, you got to have the right lengths and the right colors and the flows. And I got black and I got brown and I think I got maybe a pair of dark blue if they fit. My problem is the sizing. It's not the colors. It's can I physically wear that and not look like a complete moron? Just like I don't, you know, it says, don't worry about what you're going to eat. Take no thought for your life what she shall eat. Every day it's, where are we going to eat? I don't know. I don't care. Let's just go. Doesn't matter. It's going to be $20 now, so $54 for a pizza and wings now in America. Nice stuff. But here's the point. Chapter 6, Jesus sums it up nice. Talks about anxiety over faith. Verse 34, take therefore no thought for the morrow. Oh no, what are we going to do? Gas is kind of coming down a little bit. That's nice. You know, we have no petroleum reserves anymore for the safety of our Navy, but that's all right. The price is down 25 cents. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. God will figure it out, but don't worry about it. Here's what you should worry about, 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. See, because our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And I got to tell you, because it's the adult class and nobody ever knows, but the Hebrew references to menstrual cloth. God really doesn't, you know, hold back when he describes something there. Gross. Well, that's our righteousnesses in God's eyes. Gross. And all these things shall be added unto you. When you look for God first and his righteousness first, he'll figure out the rest. And that's our problem, is we always like to, you know, just like Pastor said the other day, and then we try it our way. We tell God no, or the pride kicks up, and let's give it our shot my way, and then God, you're that spare tire, and not going to work. Here's a good one, chapter 7. So, you know, there's a little bit to chew on in chapter 6 there. Hypocrisy. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in, you know, here's a mote, a little speck, a sliver, a little, you know, got something in my eye. Not like you just got hit in the face with a 2x4. Considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye. Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. That's an interesting one. So we're not supposed to give the gospel? Or is there a certain amount of discretion you need and you give somebody a chance? And that, what did Jesus do with his 70 disciples? You go there, you give them the truth, they reject you, you wipe off the dust from your feet, see ya. That sounds pretty rough. I mean, that's not full of grace and truth and more grace and more grace. It's, I don't know. Sometimes it seems like we get into this, you keep going, but Jesus says, don't cast your pearls before swine. Don't get in a spot where you're going to get trampled. One thing to be meek, another thing to be poor in spirit, another thing to be silly and waste your time. I remember being downtown one time, we went street preaching, this was years ago, and you start talking to a drunk guy about getting saved. He's not going to remember the conversation in 5 minutes. So are you really doing the work of the Lord, or are you just wasting your time because there's four other people standing over there that aren't drunk? You know, a little, it's not, I'm not being judgmental because I just read not to judge, but there is a certain way to use your time. Here's a new one here, verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Ask. Ask, seek, knock. A-S-K. Ask. It's right there. It's like this little thing there. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. There's some people that just do that naturally. Other people, you got to draw it out of them. It just doesn't click. You know, it's like I was telling my wife the other day. When I went to school, I didn't need programs. I didn't need stickers and stars. They were great. I just wanted to learn stuff. It was fun to learn new things. Then I got to second grade, and it's like, oh, that's 2 plus what? Oh, I got it wrong. And then it's like, then I had to get these. Oh, talk about being uncool. At least my first ones had little baseballs right there, and it was signed by Steve Carlton, I think. It was Philadelphia Philly. It's the only way I would have wore them. And now I'm completely blind. So we see these 5, 6, and 7. Matthew chapter 10 talks about freedom from religion, rules. You don't have to live there. Religious divisions, because that's what we have in our world, is just divisions, either political or religious. Not surprising. More selfishness. Matthew 15, he talks about wickedness. Matthew 16, he talks about selfishness. I'm kind of skipping my things today, but we definitely went over all these. Raising the bar, here's all the stuff that we went over. 6, 7, oh, the foundation. Let's go back to 7 for a second. See, good thing I checked my little notes there. Just getting off on tangents. Verse 21, Matthew 7, verse 21. Here's a good one. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. There's no relationship there. Just like I can promote Apple, you know, interesting how the honk's missing out of it. What is that a symbol of? In Genesis chapter 3, just the devil's play. It's right there. The Bible's everywhere. But I can promote these guys. Does the CEO of Apple know that I exist? No way. I've sold thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars worth of his products. I put in thousands this week. And I made a couple pennies on the products, but it's not like I get a personal handshake or a letter saying, good job today, way to promote my stuff. Well, you could give me a free watch. I just lost it while I was working last week. $500. See ya. And you know the thing, find your watch. Yeah, was at a house where you had it 3.5 weeks ago, even though you lost it yesterday. Well, that's nice. That really helped me find it. But, you know, now the new ones are out. My daughter's already making calls from Florida. Dad, did you see the new light blue phone? Pretty sweet. Depart from me, I never knew. But he says, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. We cast out devils in your name. And he says, you're working iniquity. You're not doing it the right way. Is that charities? Is that going around the world promoting religion over Christ? I don't. He just says, I don't know you. Who are you? Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, here's the foundations. That's why I went back to this. People just don't have a foundation anymore. Pastor Huber and I used to talk about this. People can come in, get saved, but their whole life has been living in a swirling pool of who knows what and chaos. So when you try to get them set on the foundation of Christ for their life, they don't even know what their life is. They don't even know how to live in this world. And it's tough. But he says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, and that's what you got to do, but there's no structure there for someone to know how to do that. Now, that's why Sam was saying, I think the pastor was talking to Sam about, you just come to work and you like show up and they make you a manager because you actually know how to get someplace on time. And we go, well, that doesn't sound very, that's a miracle in today's world. I mean, oh, you're on time today. Or like, you know how to text and say, I'll be there in 4 minutes. ETA, 9:22, you know, I can, wow, that's amazing. That's the typing and not getting in an accident. That's the amazing part for me. I'm on the way. Just being responsible. But that's what I'm saying. All that foundation of life without, with or without Christ is gone. There, nobody has that anymore. It's on purpose. Because then you can structure and make it whatever you want. But Christ wants us to start with him. You hear what he says and you do it. I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. This is 724, 725. And the rain descended, so here comes the world, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. When things get hard, the structure holds. The foundation stays. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, here's America, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. That was by accident. But look what it says. Here's those words again. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, verse 28, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. That's sad. That's, I mean, in a world where they had the oracles of God and they used it for their own personal gain, it seems. So we kind of went through those other summaries here. Matthew 10, some other things that Jesus dealt with. Matthew 18. Oh, look at this one. Turn to Matthew 18. You say, oh, you're stretching the context. I don't know. What is it? Matthew 18, 3 through 6. So Jesus calls a little child unto him in verse 2. Chapter 18, Matthew, verse 2. And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name shall receiveth me. But whosoever shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Where's my other one? Verse 10. Here's the verse. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. Why the animals over children in America? Oh, you got to save this. But now it's my right to destroy my own species. Where does that come from? Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. It's a tough spot. You don't think God is bringing judgment for not just abortion, but man, if you lose the hearts of women in a society, the men are always wicked. I mean, I'd love to say we're all great and we're looking for God all the time, and it's hard enough to be a Christian man, but then you go to these other countries where you better watch your girls and your ladies or trouble's going to happen like that. That's the rest of the world outside of the Holy Ghost, you know, he that letteth will let in America, where you feel that spirit of safety. It's like we're getting ice cream. I was getting ice cream and 17 other people, but my wife was home. And I'm like, how come I can stand right here and there's a lady with the daughter there and there's some new people and they're holding their new puppy they just got from Texas. This is in Hilton, New York. And nobody's worried about, is anybody going to hurt or attack? Or we're just looking for some sugar fix. You know what I'm saying? It was like a collective thing. And that's America. But the rest of the world, it's just a mess. And you look at what God has done, and now you, and that's, you have the hearts of men are on one side, but then the hearts of the women. And now all of a sudden they've been ingrained with this doctrine that there's some, I don't know, it's something's off there, where it's my right to kill the child in my belly. And I'm just a man, so I can't say anything, but you're supposed to judge righteous judgment, Jesus also says. Something's off there, and that is trouble. Because if you lose both sides of the coin, the males and the females, who's left to hold the fort? It's those grandmas that are still holding the fort, but they're dying off quick. What's going to happen? And remember, and great was the fall of it? It's horrible, because I'm getting there quick. If my kids would get married and have kids, but You know what I'm saying? To hold the fort for who here? And I'd say half of the people in that ice cream place had tattoos up and down their arms. Just moms and dads and kids seeing it all, and it's like normal. So what is that? God help us. We didn't even get to Matthew 19, gender identity, family structure, marriage, wealth, vanity. It's all there. You just got to read it. But we got to go. So let's pray. Jesus wants us to be perfect. Be perfect as your Father in heaven is imperfect. But Lord, we come to you today, God. We know that we're not perfect. Lord, we need your Holy Spirit. We need your guidance. We need your word in our lives more than all the inundating factors of social media and the news and politics and all the foolishness of the world, God, that tries to creep in every crevice of our life. God, help us to have that secret time with you every day. Lord, we need strengthening. We need the hope, God, that only comes from your presence in our lives and your word, God, as well. Thank you, Lord, for the Bible. Lord, we have it in our language. God, help us not to put it down, but to keep it close, keep it in our hearts. Lord, that we might not sin against you, but Lord, we can easily share it with others. Thank you, Lord, for your words of perfecting today. Lord, help us to pray for our country, for our leaders. Somehow, Lord, you'd have a revival, Lord, on your heart. We know you want us to turn back to you. God, help us to take those chances in our lives by faith and not fear, Lord. Pray that you'd bless the service coming, Lord. Pray that you'd bless our pastor. Lord, I know he got thrown a curveball this morning by having to teach. Lord, as he's trying to get ready for his preaching message, just bless him, Lord, this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.